It's May 6, 2020, at our Wednesday night Bible study and prayer time. And once again, we're still having only a limited number of people here in our church service. And we're thinking that's going to change really soon. I'm excited about that. And we're praying for wisdom concerning that. And we're looking forward to how God's going to work tonight, but also in the future. Excited about what God's been doing in our church and in my heart and our church family's heart. Had a wonderful day of prayer and fasting for the family this past Monday. Looking forward to our upcoming spring revival with Brother Brian McBride that starts this coming Sunday. And that is going to be Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. Everything should be up and ready by 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and on Sunday. And then also 7 p.m. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Don't want to miss that just because of the fact that you can't be here per se because it's going to be done through the live streaming and through the downloading and things like that. We will still have some congregational singing to start the service, and the McBride family is going to be doing some special music for us, and he's going to be preaching for us. But mark your calendars for that. On Sunday is Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day to all those mothers out there, and thankful for the ladies of our church, and very thankful for how good they are to us and how hard they work around here. We do got a couple of little special things planned for our service on Mother's Day morning, so make sure you tune in there. Once again, we'd like for you to be here with us so we could honor you, but not able to do that this upcoming Sunday. So we will just show our appreciation and say thank you for all you do. Now let's go ahead and get started the service with a word of prayer, and then we'll head right into our theme song and congregational singing. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, Wednesdays are usually very busy for many of our people. Many of them work all day or have other responsibilities, and they gather around at enough time to be able to hear the word of God preached and taught, and to be able to sing your praises, be able to be encouraged by the music, and Lord, to be able to gather together in our prayer times. Lord, things are different now, but Lord, we know you can work, and that's what we're asking for you to do. Each person that hears this service tonight, Lord, I pray that you work in their hearts in a special way. Lord, you're precious to us. Help us to understand that. And Lord, I pray that you encourage us through your preaching and your teaching. Lord, we do think of Mother's Day coming up. Lord, we pray that during this different year that the mothers feel appreciated and the ladies feel like, Lord, that they should be honored the way that they should be honored. Thankful for the ladies of Faith Baptist Church. Thankful for the mothers and what they mean to so many of us. Lord, thank you for being so good to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, once again, our prayer times are a little bit different. Usually on Wednesday nights, we read the request out loud, but because of the fact that it's done live stream over the internet, what we've been doing is sending out a bulletin. So if you have not gotten the bulletin, we've been doing it probably for at least 4 weeks now. If you haven't been getting the bulletin for 4 weeks, there's something wrong. You need to let us know. Somebody this past week told me, I haven't been getting the bulletin at all. I thought you weren't sending it. And it's we tell you over and over. So just to make announcement, because it's been a few weeks since we said it, if you do not have a bulletin that's coming to you that would like to have one, it can be sent to you through email. It can also be mailed to you if you do not have email. You can even resend it through text, but text is very difficult because it's very long. Because on the bulletin, we add everyone's prayer request list. And we will continue on doing that for a little while, even when the church services start again. Just for those that don't feel comfortable for a little while, we'll keep on doing that for a little while. But if you can get it on your email, that's the easiest and most convenient way to do it, and let us send that to you so you can be praying for these requests. We're going to have Brother Jim come lead us in our theme song. Thank you for being here tonight, Brother Jim. Miss Kathy, always appreciate you guys.
Thank you. Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray, and holy manna will be showered all around. I'd like you to turn to Are You Washed in the Blood, number 124. Let's sing all four verses. Are you washed in the blood? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? your garments, spotless are they, white as snow. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Verse 3, sing with me. When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Last verse. Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Okay, just a couple quick announcements. We are still continuing on with our FBC Kids program. So we did some taping for that today. We'll do a little bit more taping later on the week, and it should be on our website by Saturday night or Sunday morning. Also, this coming Friday, we're going to have a special Bible study for teenagers/college students. And I know they hear me enough. So what we've done is we've asked some different people who they're used to hearing preach at youth conferences or maybe preaching here at church. Some will be younger, some will be older, some will be evangelists, pastors, assistant pastors, things like that. So different person each and every week. Now, obviously, it's going to be on our church YouTube channel. So if you're older than a college age or a teenager and you want to watch it, you're welcome to. But it'll be geared to them. At least that's what we've asked. And so this coming Friday, we're hoping to have the first one posted for that. I'll introduce it. I've already seen it. And then we'll go through and hear it. The first one this coming Friday is going to be from Evangelist Scott Pauley. And I know that's from many of you, many of the teenagers. I know that's one of my favorite teen speakers. I know when I was talking to a couple of the teenagers about this, they mentioned that Scott Pauley would be one of the people they like to hear. And so I'm going to have some missionaries. Depends on how long, because even when church starts opening back up, it will start off being in here. So it'll be a few more weeks at least before we have a teen class or before we have a young adult class. So for the college age and teenagers, we like to have something special for them. So by this coming Friday, our first segment should be up there. It'll be on our YouTube channel, and you'll be able to see it. They'll have something, hopefully some type of little thing on the front that tells you it's for the teen/college-age class. So young people, I want you to try to do your best, and each week we're going to post a new one. Each week will be a different speaker also, so I think you'll enjoy them. Like I said, many of these are people that you've heard here at our church or have heard them at conferences, and many times good results and people that you've said you've enjoyed hearing in the past. So make sure, I know we don't have a large youth group, not that many college-age young adults, but those that are here, we like to give you something to be able to listen to besides just church services to help you, encourage you in the walk with the Lord. They're just going to be normal Bible studies. I heard Brother Paulie's already. It's very good. I think you'll enjoy it. So do your best to listen to that. And once again, be on the lookout for the FBC Kids class too. Like I said, Saturday night, Sunday morning, that will be ready. I already mentioned the revival. But like I said, schedule it. Have your family at a certain time ready to watch the service. Have your Bibles out. I know you won't have a hymn book, obviously, but have your Bibles out. Be ready. If you take notes normally at church, encourage you to take notes and pretend like it's church and be a part of it. And I think you're going to enjoy the McBrides. If you have not heard them before, make sure you do your best to listen to them. I think you would definitely enjoy them. And invite others to also. We're going to have different platforms. More than likely, it'll be on our YouTube page and also our Facebook page. Obviously, they are pre-recorded messages, but they will be done a day or two ahead of time. Brother McBride said he has specifically been praying for this revival for Faith Baptist Church, and he is doing the messages specifically for Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Once again, they will be done a day ahead of time just so that way we can make sure they're online when they're supposed to be. And you'll see the messages and the songs and things like that will all be pre-recorded. But it's something that we want to make sure that you're listening, because he, on purpose, has set aside his time, just like we would do for any revival, come and preach like he is going to do here for us. Yeah. Just do it over the internet. And just like any other revival, we will be taking a love offering for the McBride family. Many times these evangelists and missionaries, especially the ones on deputation, have lost their income. I know other people have lost their income, but this is people, servants of the Lord that we know, many of them we love, and if we can try to be a blessing to them. So let's try to be a blessing to the McBride family next week. I believe on your online giving, there's a spot for them. If not, you can just mail something in and just mark what you would like to have go to the McBride family. You can wait throughout the week and let the Lord speak to your heart like we normally do. That's great. That's fine. But whatever comes into them, it will all go directly to them as a love offering. But thanks again for being here tonight. Pray you get a blessing from the service. I want to encourage your faithfulness. I'm appreciative of that. I've seen that. People telling me how they enjoyed the message and things like that. Your faithfulness with your giving. All those things have been encouragement to me as a pastor.
All right. Our next song is He Leadeth Me. We're going to sing the first, third, and fourth verses, please. He Leadeth Me, number 57.
He leadeth me, oh blessed thought, oh words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Verse 3. Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine. Content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. And the last. And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, in death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me.
Good singing.
I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in paths I have not trod. I have no fear, for Jesus walks beside me, for I am sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storm clouds rage, the dark clouds rise. They won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and not a bird can harm me, for I'm sheltered. The arms of God. soon I shall hear a call from heaven's portals. Come home, my child, it's the last now you must draw. I'll fall asleep and wake up in God's sweet heaven. Sheltered safe within the arms of God. So let the storm clouds rage, the dark clouds fly. They don't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and not a bird can harm me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Yes, I am sheltered safe within God's God.
Amen. Amen, amen. Thank you, Mr. Humbert. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles up to the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. Very thankful for all those who had a part in the special music when during this little bit of time of uncertainty, how we do things differently, people coming in and being faithful with that, looking forward. And I know not everybody has signed up to come in and do it. I understand completely. Looking forward to some of the other ones that didn't have a chance or didn't feel comfortable coming during this time, hearing them sing again. I miss hearing all the different people do special music and all the different groups and things like that. And we're working on that. But I'm thankful for those that felt comfortable to come and be a part of the services. Okay, Proverbs chapter number 31. I think I know what most people are coming and thinking. I know what Proverbs 31 is. It's the virtuous woman passage. We are going to get start off there. Mother's Day is Sunday. Obviously, I'm not going to be preaching on Sunday. But as I consider Mother's Day coming up, I began thinking about a specific word and done a little bit of a Bible study on it. And I'd like to share that with you today. And the word is precious. The word is precious. What does the word precious mean? Highly valued, of great worth. And I began thinking about some of the most precious things in my life and some of the most precious things in other people's lives. And obviously we think of a relationship with God. Hopefully that's one of the most precious, if not the most precious thing in your life. But when I began thinking about precious things here on this earth, I began considering things such as like my mom. She's very precious to me. My wife is very precious to me. My sons are very precious to me. And I began thinking, well, what would be a Mother's Day type message that maybe could help us understand a little bit of truth? So, you know, we've heard many of the different stories about some of the great mothers in the Bible. We've seen great preaching and different things like that. So this message is talking about precious, but it's just using this as an illustration to bounce off with. Probably most of us would consider our mothers to be very precious. And I think many moms would consider their children to be very precious. Maybe not all the time. Some of the times you might want to strangle them, but you would say they're some of the most precious things God's ever given you. And in Proverbs chapter 31, there's two verses, and this is probably the only two verses. Majority of the rest of the messages are going to have the word precious in there, but I think you'll understand what the value that's given in these verses and the understanding that's behind it. And then we're going to give you some biblical examples at the end about different people who valued and was willing to trust God with something they considered precious. Proverbs chapter 31, let's first look at verse number 10. It says, "Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies?" So what I think what God is saying here is that a virtuous woman is one that is precious. Because most people would think, as you go through the Bible and you look at different words of precious, the majority of the words are describing a stone, or a ointment, or gold and silver. So when you think about the word rubies, it would be considered a stone of great value, as something that is of great worth. And what God is saying is that a virtuous woman is more precious, more valuable than even this stone or this gem that is so valuable. Also, if you look in verse number 30, there's another illustration that's given about this virtuous woman that show how precious she is. It says in verse number 30, "Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. So if you have in your life a lady, whether it's a mother or whether it's a wife or even a daughter, that is a woman who fears the Lord, or even a young lady that fears the Lord, you know what the Bible is saying? It's not saying that she should be praised. It's saying that a person that is virtuous is going to, a lady like this that's virtuous, a lady that fears the Lord, is someone that will be praised. They shall be praised. And so it's not looking for acclamations. I mean, I know it says verses earlier, it says verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. They're not looking for they're not going to be looking for someone to sit there and praise them. It's going to happen naturally, because a woman that fears the Lord is a precious thing. And when it's a woman that fears the Lord, it's a person that people are going to say, that person is precious. And they will be praised. And I love that verse, because it says, favor is deceitful, which is true, and beauty is vain. Why is beauty vain? And once again, the world puts so much emphasis on what they consider beautiful. But it's vain because it's only here for a little while. It's not going to last forever. It's going to be gone. But a woman that feareth the Lord, a woman that actually fears God, stands in his presence all the time, understands that they are consciously living in the presence of God, and do not want to do anything that's going to affect their relationship, does not want to do anything that's going to disappoint God, that's a woman who feareth the Lord. She's going to be praised. And I think of some women that are like that. And I think of people who hold certain ladies in such a high esteem. It's because they're someone who fears the Lord. So today I'd like to think about this word precious for a little while. I like to think about four different things. What does the Bible call precious? Secondly, what's precious in the world's eyes? Thirdly, what would you consider to be precious? And fourthly, some people do not value precious things. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to your word tonight. And yes, it is a topical type study, but Lord, your word tells us what is precious. It tells us what we should value and what should be of great worth. A virtuous woman is someone like that. A woman that fears God is someone that will be praised, and someone who's far more valuable than rubies. And God, I pray that the ladies that hear this message would aspire and have a desire and a longing to know you better and to be this virtuous woman, to be a woman that would fear God and be precious in the sight of those that are a part of their lives. Someone that doesn't have to seek praise, but instead will be praised because of her heart and because of her attitude towards God and because of the way that she lives. God, we thank you for the ladies at Faith Baptist Church. And Lord, I pray not just the ladies tonight, but also all that hear this would understand the importance of things that are precious and how we should keep precious things precious in our hearts. Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. And in Jesus' name, amen. As I began thinking about some precious things, I began thinking about some earthly precious things. As I mentioned, my mother, my wife, some of the ladies that have friendships in this church, some other ladies even outside our church, some ladies that help guide me as a young person, whether it be Sunday school teachers or people I worked with, not worked with, but people that were teachers in my Christian school, different ladies that have influence and value my life. Those memories are precious to me. They have value and they are of worth. But what does the Bible call precious? And this is going to be a topical Bible study here for just a few minutes. If you want to write these references down, it would be good. Or you can go back and just push pause and rewind it later on if you wanted to. But we're going to just read them here. We're not going to turn because there's quite a few. But there's things that are called precious. What does the Bible call precious? The first one, and it's probably my favorite one, is the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, the precious blood of Jesus. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, for as much as ye know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold. Now, people would say, you know, silver and gold is the most valuable. It's the most precious. Even today, you think about people who are talking about investing and people talking about how to keep their money and how to save for the future. Some people are saying, forget about the stock market. Buy gold. That's never going to lose its value. They're saying that's a great value. But there's something that's more precious. Something more precious than gold or silver. This is one of the most precious things that ever was shed on this earth, was the blood of Jesus Christ. It says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, the silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You say, what's so precious about the blood of Jesus Christ? It's the blood of Jesus Christ that saves our sin, saves us from our sins. And without the shedding of blood, there would be no remission. So I want you to understand that this is something that's precious. This is something we value. Even Psalms gives a little bit of a thought on this in Psalms 49:8. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceases forever. And think about it. It's saying the redemption of our soul, when we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, it is precious. And sometimes we don't value the blood of Jesus Christ. There are people out there that don't preach about the blood. There are people that would not sing about the blood, and they're missing an important doctrine of the Bible, is that without the blood, there's no remission of sins. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, there is no redemption. There is no hope for us. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ, which is more valuable than silver and more valuable than gold, let's make sure we hold it in high esteem because the blood of Jesus is precious. It says, with the precious blood of Christ and as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The necessity for salvation. The second thing I want you to think that the Bible calls precious, not just the blood of Jesus, but the promises of God. How precious are they? Man, they have high value. They are great value. They are great worth because of the fact that they are true. They are yea, yea. They are not nay. The God that cannot lie has given us promises in his Bible, and they should be precious to us. We should grab a hold of them, and that's not something we should question. It's not something that we should wonder if we should hold to them and listen to them or not. He calls them precious in his own word. It says, whereby are given unto us. Now listen to this adjectives, the description. Exceeding. Look at that, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So what the scripture is saying, you know what, there are some precious things in this world. There is gold and there is silver, and what makes them precious is the material they're made out of, and the fact that you cannot find them as much as you can find other things. But he says, the blood of Jesus is so much more precious than that. And then you consider the promises that God has given us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He'll provide our needs according to his riches and glory. He has given us promise after promise, a promise of heaven, things that you could not buy with corruptible things like silver and gold, but they are precious promises. The next one I want you to think about, and here, since you're in the book of Proverbs, let's go ahead and scoop back to Proverbs chapter number 3. There is another thing that God puts a value in. Proverbs chapter number 3, in verses 13 through 15, God puts a high value in something called wisdom. He says this is precious. This is something we should be looking for. In Proverbs chapter 3, look what it says, beginning with verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Now this next phrase, she is more precious than rubies. And all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. And what the scripture is saying, you imagine whatever it is that you think would be the greatest thing in this world that you could have. Whether it be, and we're talking about material wise, maybe it is money. Maybe it is diamonds. Maybe it is a convertible. Maybe it is a vacation home. Maybe it is, I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it's a precious piano. I don't know what it is that you would say. This is something that I could consider desiring. And the Bible says in verse number 15 that you can't even compare it. All the things, not just one thing, all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. There is no comparison. You should even put it one. Wisdom is so much more valuable. Wisdom is so much more precious than all those things. It's not even comparable to it. And then you say, Pastor, what are you talking about? You ever met somebody who didn't have much common sense? There are some people that are just gullible, and there are some people that just doesn't have common sense. I think there's a little bit of a difference there. But there are people there you look at and think, did they even think about what they're saying? And then you wonder and you think, man, they have no knowledge. Well, there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is book learning. Wisdom comes from God. You can know a lot. There's a lot of scientists out there that know a whole big bunch, but they don't have wisdom because they don't put God in the equation. They don't seek God. They don't choose to think that there is a divine creator, divine designer that created this universe. And what the scripture is saying here, he's saying, hey, look, there are some things that are precious in this world. And there are some things that we should hold and things that are valuable and that are worth of great value. The blood of Jesus. Let's make sure that we remember that. Remember that someone had to shed his blood for our souls. Think about it. Not only that, but also wisdom, something else. And then also the last one was the promises of God. Let's keep on going. Since we're close to the book of Psalms, let's go back to Psalms chapter 126. Psalms chapter 126. Some of you might recognize that chapter in the Bible, but there is another word that he says, this is precious also. Psalms 126, the Bible says in verse number 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoices, bringing his sheaves with him. So what the scripture is saying, this is talking about a person that will go out and try to win someone to Christ, to tell them the truth. And it says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. What is the precious seed? It's the word of God. Specifically here, I think it's speaking, referring to the gospel. And it's talking about the word of God and how this is precious. Now, we're going to try to tie it all in at the end and try to say, you know what? Some people don't treat precious things like they're supposed to. How do we treat the Word of God? I've seen, once again, most of you know I'm new to Facebook, and I've seen sometimes, and I don't know how people scroll through all these things, but when I open up something to get to the other thing, I saw just the other day a couple people had posted this thing about what if we treated our Bible like we treat our cell phone, and talked about how we carry our cell phone everywhere. What would happen if we carried our Bible everywhere, and how often have we checked our cell phone today? If we would check how much we read the Bible as many times as we read our cell phone every day, and all those different things. I didn't read the whole post, but I just thought it was a novel comparison there. And I understand that the Word of God is precious, but do we treat it like it has value? I mean, the Bible tells us we should. The Bible tells us that not only should we carry it, but we should read it. And not only should we read it, we should meditate on it. Not only should we read it and meditate it, we should also memorize it. And it continues on. We should tell it to other people. The Bible is precious. Think about what it says in Psalms 119, verse 72. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. David is writing there, and the whole chapter of 119 is talking about the law of God and the word of God, and he puts it in a perspective that's so beautiful. He says, the word of thy mouth is more, let me make sure I use the right words, precious, I believe, is better unto me. It's better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. He says, not just one piece. He says, you could not take the word of God from me, no matter how much it costs, because it's precious to me. I also think about what it says in Psalms 116, 15. It says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Think about that word, his saints. They're children of God. They're saints. And sometimes when I turn and I'm doing a funeral, or when I'm talking to a family about someone who's gone on, and I know their personal testimony, and I know that they profess to be saved and they believe in the word of God and they lived the life according to that, I will try to reassure the people. And sometimes I'll use this verse. You know, they were precious to you, but the Bible says that they were precious to God also. And the precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Ecclesiastes 7:1 puts it this way, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of the death than the day of one's birth. So what the scripture is saying, that a good name is precious. You say, well, it says it's better than precious ointment, so that means it's more precious and more valuable, it has more worth than a precious ointment. That back then in those times, the ointment was so valuable that they would keep that and save it sometimes for the day that they died so they could be buried with this precious ointment. It was something that was just very, very valuable to them. So think about, let's do a review. What does the Bible call precious? The blood of Jesus, the promises of God, wisdom, gospel, the Bible, the death of his saints, and a good name. Now, when we started writing out things that were precious to us, I wonder how many of us would be able to have biblical answers to what it said, some of those things. I think some of us would have said, yes, my relationship with God is valuable to me. I think some would have even said, hey, the word of God is valuable to me. But I think that some of us would even held to, hey, promises are valuable to me. And some who loved the Proverbs might have said wisdom. But as we see this, this is a challenge to us. These are things that God says has worth. These are things that God says are valuable. These are things that God says are precious and are important. These are things that we should hold in great value. Second thing I want you to think about is what not what just what the Bible calls precious, but what is precious in the world's eyes? What is precious in the world's eyes? And I don't want to spend much time here because I think the answer would be different for everybody. So I typed into our Google bar, what is some of the most precious things in the world? I came up, they came up with a list. I didn't write them all down, but I did write some of them down. First one, they said there is a Graff Diamond hallucination watch worth $55 million. $55 million for a watch. Now, don't get me wrong. I have the privilege that one Christmas I got an Apple Watch, and I'm thankful for it. I like it. It works really well. And you know what? That watch they showed the picture was worth $55 million. It was ugly. I mean, I'm not a jewelry expert, that's for sure. But I don't think anybody would wear that. And I'm sure no one's going to wear a $55 million watch. But that was something precious to someone. I think if you went and looked at it online, you'd be like, ew, that's ugly too. The second thing, a 1963 Ferrari 250 GTO that's worth $70 million. One of the most precious things in this world because there is not one like it. Third thing, a bluefin tuna. Somebody spent $3 million on a fish. A bluefin tuna. And it was, don't get me wrong, it was a big fish. So, but it was a bluefin tuna, $3.1 million. It says that there was a man in India that built himself, the richest man in India, built himself a 400,000 square foot home. And I'm probably going to say it wrong, so you know you can tell me later, Mumbai. In 2012, this man bought a 27 floors of an earthquake-proof luxury house. It had a 168-car garage, a spa, a temple, a two-story rec center, a 50-person theater, three helipads, garden terraces, a ballroom, and guest suites worth over $2 billion. It was precious to him. Now, honorable mention there is Buckingham Palace, but that's only worth $1.5 billion, so that's not as precious. A Manhattan parking spot, worth $1 million. It's precious because there isn't very many parking spots. Leonardo da Vinci's Salvatore Mundi, however you say it, $450 million. The domain name, carinsurance.com, it's worth $49.7 million. $49.7 million for a domain name. Now, we've been looking and thinking about changing our domain name a little bit for our website because Faith Baptist ECNC, people get lost on that sometimes. You can rent one for $6 a month. If it's a really good one, you can rent it for $12 a month. I think we get ours, when we're thinking about it, we pretty much get it free as part of a package or something, or it might cost $6 a month or $3 a month, whatever. And it's $50 million for a domain name, carinsurance.com. Then there is a crystal piano out there that costs $3.22 million. And you sit there and say, so what are the precious things in this world? Now they're putting it precious because there's nothing like them. But what the Bible tells us is precious is his word, the blood of Jesus. Things that are available to all, a good name, wisdom. Those are things that we should hold and value. Those are things that should be important to us. What is precious in the world's eyes? And the next important question is, yes, what God says and what the world says, but more importantly for you, what do you call precious? What is something that has great worth to you or great value to you? I like this to remind you of a couple things. The Bible says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In a time like this, when contentment is, I'm sure, a challenge, where people are all staying at home, some people have lack of income, some people have some great needs, finding contentment of having to stay home with your family can be a challenge at times. Being contented any time is a challenge. But to being during this time, and I even thought about preaching on Philippians chapter number 4 tonight, but God led me to this idea of precious. And here it talks about that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So what do you think the most about? What holds the dearest spot in your heart? Is it the blood of Jesus? Is it searching for wisdom? You say, well, who in the world? The Bible says that's more better than silver or gold. The law of the Lord is better than the law of thy mouth, David was saying, is better than thousands of silver and gold. These are things that should be precious to us. The promises of God should be dear to us. They are things that we should hold dear in our hearts. A good name. And don't get me wrong, as I mentioned earlier, you know, there's people in my life that are precious to me. And there's many people that are precious to me that have great value and worth. But what is if that is your treasure? Proverbs 23:7 puts it this way. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. So you take those two verses and you consider, well, what is your treasure? What is precious to you? Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be at. You know, sometimes I get tunnel vision on certain things. And I start looking at things and working on things. And sometimes I have to make sure I set it down and I have to talk to the Lord because I get focused on some things. And sometimes my treasure becomes the wrong thing. But I can't allow that to happen. My treasure needs to be in the right things, in the things of God, in the things of my family and in my ministry. And here the Bible says your treasure is going to be where your heart is, where your affections are at, the things you think about, the things you care about, the things you spend time on, the things you put money on. Those are where your treasure is at, because as you think in your heart, so are you. I don't like that verse because I don't like what my heart thinks sometimes. I don't like where my heart's at sometimes. And once again, a wrong thought is one thing. You know, you can be tempted. A wrong thought doesn't make it a sin. But when you sit there and you focus on it, when you consider at it, when you let something consume you, when it becomes more important to you than other things, that's where you become like that. So what is precious to you? And the next question, are you willing to trust God with those precious things? Are you willing to trust God with those precious things? And I did not know exactly how far or how long, but there's four Bible examples I want you to think about, and we're just going to tell the story. Most of you know these characters by heart, but just to remind you of some things. If you do not know the Bible characters, I would encourage you to go read the stories. The first thought underneath that, are you willing to trust God with those possessions? I think with those precious things, I think about our possessions. Are we willing to trust God with our possessions? And there's a lot of different characters in the Bible you could consider, you can look at, and you can say, you know what? They were someone who gave it all over to the Lord, and God was willing to help them. You think about the disciples. They forsook all in order to follow Christ. But probably one of my favorite lady Bible characters was Mary of Bethany. And I loved the stories that she has. You know, she was the one that sat at Jesus' feet. She was the one, and now Martha called her lazy, but I don't think she probably was lazy, but I'm a little bit lazy at heart, so I kind of like her because she was the one sitting at Jesus' feet while other people were working. And you think about it, Mary of Bethany was the one that's known for taking out the alabaster box of ointment and worshiping the Lord by breaking it. And once again, a lady there that we don't know that she was ever married, this would be probably one of her most prized possessions, something that was saved for years. This was something that was probably hers and hers alone. And it says in Matthew 26:7, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. What a wonderful, precious story there, Mary of Bethany. Now, she was willing to trust him with her possessions. Now, I want to try to tie it into our families, not just only our possessions, but also our families. Once again, Mother's Day is coming up, and you know, we as, especially the moms, they love their little babies, they love their little grandbabies, and they love their little great-grandbabies so much, they think they can never do any wrong. Wait. The moms know that the kids do wrong, but maybe the grandparents might never think that their grandkids do anything wrong. And definitely the great-grandkids, they never do anything wrong because they're great-grandparents at that point in time. But are you willing to trust God with your family? Are you willing to look at your child in the face and say, you know what, if you think God's calling you to go over to a foreign country, it's okay with me. I'll do whatever I can to help you. Are you willing to trust God by saying, hey, if you want to go to a Bible college instead of a state university, even though they might not be accredited, I'm going to help you because that's what you think God wants you to do? Are you willing to trust God with your family by being willing to pray? I don't know about you, but the missionary thing is one thing. The right college is another thing. But you say, well, I don't have any control over that. My kids are going to do what they want. You know what you can do? You can pray. You can read the Bible with them. You can give them a godly example to live in front of them. You can do all those different things. And yes, your influence might be limited over the years as they become adults and as they become parents themselves and grandparents themselves. I get all that. But do you pray? You say, Pastor, you just make it sound so simple. Do you pray? Is your family worth it enough to pray? Is your family worth it enough to live a holy life? Are you willing to trust God with your family? I think about first the story of in Exodus about Jochebed. I never thought about this, but I was introduced to this thought the other day. There's three strong women inside that Exodus chapter number 2. Jochebed's one of them. But also those two midwives were ladies who might have been mothers themselves that was not willing to kill the Hebrew children like they were supposed to do. And Jochebed was Moses' mom. And once again, Jochebed here says, and when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river brink. So he said, Well, that's what she was doing. She was trusting God. Could you imagine what it would have been like to let go of that little ark that had that baby? To walk away knowing that there's probably crocodiles nearby? I don't know about you, but that is extreme trust. Letting go of that child that way and saying, God, they're in your hands. I've done everything I could. I believe you gave me this child, and I'm going to let you protect him. And then I think about the story of Hannah. That was hard. But Hannah here had a choice. Hannah was one in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Hannah was Samuel's mom. And here with Hannah, they were there and she wasn't able to have children. She begged God. She prayed to God. She worshiped God. And then she made a commitment to God. She told God, if you gave me a child, I'll give it back to him. And it says in 1 Samuel 1:24, when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. So this child that she had been praying for and fasting for, even because of the way that she was worshiping and praying, the high priest thought she was drunk. And she was so passionate about this that at a young age, probably somewhere around 4, maybe 5 years old, she went and she left Samuel at the house of God, the temple. Could you have done that? I mean, you've been praying for it. You've been worshiping it. And you know, God, you wouldn't really want me to keep that commitment. But what she was saying is, I trust you, God. You gave me this child. I made this commitment. I trust you with this life. Are we willing to do that? Then I think about, and he said, well, you're just picking ladies. Well, yes, it is Mother's Day. And I believe that, you know, for this to work, Hannah's husband had to be in on that. Hannah's husband could say, you ain't take my boy anywhere. God, they had to listen to God. I think Jochebed's husband the same way. I think many times a godly wife definitely has the support of a godly husband, many times, not always. And the same thing vice versa. On Father's Day, we shouldn't forget the role that the mother and the wife plays in that too. Speaking of fathers, think about Abraham. They call him Father Abraham. Was he willing to trust God with his most precious possession? Isaac was the apple of his eye. God wanted to teach Abraham, look, you love Isaac, but you love me more. And Isaac and Abraham went up on that Mount Moriah. It says in Genesis 22:2, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon of the mountains, which I will tell thee. You know what he did? He actually was willing to take his son up to Mount Moriah, pick up a sword, and get ready to kill him because he believed, he trusted God with Isaac's life that God would just raise him right back up. Wow. And you think about Moses, and you think about Samuel, and you think about Isaac, that many of them had a great testimony for portions of their life. Where did it come from? Some parents who said, I'm willing to trust God with my child. This child of mine is super precious. I can imagine, you know, there was Aaron there and there was Miriam there. But Moses, she left in that Nile River and she only had for a few years. Imagine how precious Moses was to Jochebed. I know Samuel was precious to Hannah. And we know that Isaac was super special to Abraham. But all those different Bible characters said, I'm willing to trust you with my kids. What is precious to you? And I know some of you tell me this. My kids are everything. Sometimes I get cringe when I hear that because God is supposed to be your everything. I know you think I'm being tough when I say that. Oh, my grandkids are everything to me. Just make sure you have the right order, because if they're everything to you, then you're not going to be the right grandparent. You're not going to be the right parent. God's got to be your everything. God's got to be your sufficiency. Then guess what you can be? You can be the best parent, grandparent, and great-grandparent there is in the whole world, because you've trusted the Lord with your life, and you'd be willing to trust him with their lives. That's the way you're going to make a real difference. And one final thought. Some people do not value precious things. Some people do not value precious things. Sometimes you'll read a story, and I've seen it happen before, more than once. I go visit an older couple, maybe in their 80s or 90s. Known even one that's in his hundreds, right? And they kept some possessions that were really valuable to them. I mean, they wouldn't let go of that for no matter how much anybody paid them. And then they die and they pass off on the scene. Their kids come in and their grandkids come in. And they just don't value the things that their parents did. And I'm not saying it wrong. Sometimes it just isn't valuable, and sometimes it isn't convenient. It isn't a wise choice to keep a piece of furniture that's been in the family for so long because you don't have a place to put it. I get that. But I'm just saying that one person holds one thing precious and somebody else might not hold it precious at all. And I've seen somebody who would never, ever let maybe their car get a piece of dirt on it. But when the kid gets it, it's dirt everywhere. Or they would never put their feet up on grandma's table. That was precious to grandma. That was great grandma's or great great grandma's. They pass away, it becomes something you stack stuff on at your house. And I'm not picking on people, because I know that there are sometimes things that you just have to, so you don't have clutter, you have to let go. And sometimes things hurt a little bit. Preciousness, though. What is precious to you? It might not be precious. Like I said, the things that were before you, the grandparents or the great-grandparents had, and they passed down. And I think there's something important about heritage. I think there's something important about keeping a part of your past. I think it's something that reminds us and teaches us. And I think we should value the things that our parents value, because someday we'll miss not having those things. But that's a whole different sermon. But there are some people who do not value precious things. You think about that first list, the blood of Jesus Christ. Man, how precious that was. The word of God, the promises of God, a good name. There are some things that people just do not value. Think about what it says in Psalms 139. David says this: "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them." David said, there's something that's precious to me. It's God's thoughts towards me. Wow. God thinks of me. God knows me. God loves me. That was precious to David. Do we hold that precious? God has a desire for your life. He has a thought. He has a plan for your life. Is that precious to you? David's saying, your thoughts of me, how great is the sum of them. And he's saying, that is precious to me. Then you think about your own life. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Our life is precious. Time is precious. Many times we throw it away. We don't value precious things. We don't value our time. We don't value the opportunities. We don't value the ministry. We don't value the call of God on life. We don't value the things and the people God's brought into our life. We think that we're worthless. We think that it doesn't matter if we throw our life away. I'm only hurting me. I'm only hurting myself. What is the big deal? You're not valuing something that God says is precious. He says you're of more value than many sparrows. I think we get the illustration there. You're precious to God. So the first thing is, what does God say is precious? What does he say? Remember, there's the blood, there's the promises, there's the word, there's a good name. There's many different things that we looked at already. Then what does the world say is precious? There are things that are vain. They're going to be gone after a while. What do you think is precious? Where's your heart at? because as you think in your heart, that's really who you are. Then are you willing to trust God with your precious things? You come down and say, okay, this is precious to me. And trust God with that relationship. Trust God with that possession. Trust God with that ministry. My ministry is important. And trust the Lord with it. Do what you're supposed to and then let God follow through with whatever he wants to do. Don't be one of the people who do not value precious things or value the wrong precious things. I think about cars. You know, they were the apple of somebody's eye when they first bought it. I mean, especially you think about that Ferrari or whatever your first brand new car is. You didn't want any dirt to get on it. You didn't want any stains to get on it. You know where those cars of 100 years ago are at today? Most of them are in the junkyard. I know you're going to say there's a few in a museum. I get that. But you ride past junkyards all the time, and there's car upon car upon car they smash up and just use for the metal. At one point in time, that was somebody's pride and joy. It was the apple of their eye. I don't know, if someone had bought maybe a little car, they might not have thought it was the greatest thing in the world. But most people, when they get a car, they think it's wonderful. They think it's great. They think it's a huge blessing. They think it's better than any other car in the world. But you know what happens to it? It becomes a pile of junk, just like everything else. Value the things that are important. Value the things that are lasting. As Mother's Day is coming up, think about how precious the family that God's given you is. Don't devalue them. Don't be a person that says, I don't value this relationship. Don't be that guy that comes in and destroys the things that your parents held so valuable. Instead, make the things that are precious to God precious to you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight, thank you for teaching us about the things that are precious. Lord, we could preach a whole message about the blood of Jesus or the Bible or the promises of God. Lord, I hope we didn't just run through those and people didn't get what was being said. These are precious things. These are things that we should look at. These are things that should hold a high priority in our life. We see the world's foolishness. We see what the world calls precious. We think of a $550 million watch and we think that's foolishness. But Lord, how many of us has things that are more valuable to us than you? How many of us, like on Sunday, we heard about the gourds of our lives, that we value the things that last, that are temporal, when they're souls of men and the promises of God, that we don't put as much of a value or consider precious. Let's do a deep look, Lord. Send the Holy Spirit of God to give us a deep look at what we consider as precious. And then if we need to change some of those things, help us to change that. And then, God, help us to be willing to submit and trust in you with those precious things. God, also, help us to be someone who values precious things. Help us to think about that wisdom that you say, that no matter what we could even imagine, we can't even compare it to wisdom that's more valuable. Wisdom's more valuable to it than any of those things. Lord, speak to our hearts. Help us have a wonderful revival this coming Sunday through Wednesday. And God, I pray that we have a wonderful Mother's Day. Lord, I pray that we show the appreciation all year round, but specifically on this day, that we be an encouragement and help to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, just don't forget, spring revival, May 10th through the 13th. Friday should be our teen/college-age class should be ready, the first one. Saturday night, we should have our FBC kids program up and ready. Remember, we're going to have a different teacher this week and have a different person that's teaching the memory verse and things like that. So we're looking forward to all that and all those things that are going on. Be praying for us. We're praying for you. If you need something, let us know. We'll help you any way that we can.